This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
It's time for Round the Boards, updates from Dunedin City Community Boards on ORFM Dunedin's awesome morning show.
And Paul Pope from Otago Peninsula Community Board joins me on the line for today's edition. Morena, nice to have you with us, Paul.
Morena, Jeff. How are you today?
I'm very well indeed, thank you. It's been an interesting morning on the Awesome Morning Show. I'm sure we'll continue the interesting chat, as we always do, about things peninsula-related. Let's start with a nice project, replanting on Portobello Road.
Yes, so one of the things that's been on the board's agenda for a few years now is actually looking at revegetating parts of Portobello Road, especially post-slip events. So we've had a slip. Often what happens is those are left to dry out, and then over the years they just become areas where have weeds to take over. And one of the things I've always wanted to be is proactive about slips, and that is stabilising them with New Zealand native plants and helping not only with the stabilisation of the sites but also long-term beautification. And the same applies to the removal of some of the larger unsafe trees. So actually taking the opportunity when that work's done, actually replacing those with more appropriate species. And looking to, as I say, look at stabilisation of the land area and the geotechnical aspects of that, but also adding to the potential for making a native plant corridor that runs along through that those sections of the road. So I've been having some discussions with the DCC about the potential of doing some trials on some of these things. First of all, looking at a couple of slip sites that we've had for a few years now that have stabilised but are still vulnerable in periods of wet weather. So we're working away on that at the moment, and I think it's quite a new initiative and quite a proactive one, I think, from our point of view, but also from the council's one as well, which could help the reduction of weed spreads, because weeds are effectively just gap gobblers. So when you have a slip, you've created a gap. So the first thing that comes in are the weeds, because they're the most adaptable type of plant. So, yeah, that's really what we're trying to do at this stage.
Would you be hoping you'd be getting DCC support in terms of funding for that?
Well, what we're hoping to do is look at it from a point of view as rather than being a specific beautification type project, that kind of thing. We're looking at this as more of a proactive maintenance. So this is a type of asset management. We often neglect the fact that plants do a significant job on roading infrastructure and other infrastructure and stabilisation. But we have problems with some exotic trees like pines and eucalyptus being too big and too unstable in those areas. So what this is looking to do is actually swap that around, because we do this, all of this tree work, we clear the sites, and then we don't follow that up. And it's really just getting the council to understand that the next stage of replanting those areas is actually really a proactive part of actually maintaining the road corridor.
Right, let's move on to another aspect of board life, and many of our Dunedin Community Boards offer an opportunity for people to benefit from scholarships and get some support for their projects in one way or another. You wanted to touch on that today?
So we've had 12 fantastic applicants for the scholarship that we offer this year, and we're about to look at the deliberation of those scholarships in, I think, next week. What's really amazing is what's really amazing is the diversity of the types of applications that we've got. We've had a range of people looking at theatre. We've had people looking at design and clothing. We've had sporting applications and academic applications. We've also had outdoor applications. And I think what's actually happened is that, as I say, the idea of a scholarship for us on the Otago Peninsula has grown. It's still not a huge amount of money, but it's still a little bit of money. It's $1,000 towards a project or travel or something to, and that helps to add to that person's a career or their passion. And I think this year, as I say, having 12 applicants, very competitive applicants coming, has been a really great coup for the board. And a special thanks to Stacey Kokoa, who's done an awful lot of work from the board's perspective on getting this out there. So I'm looking forward to adjudicating and meeting up with the finalists and seeing what they've got to say.
What's your timeline for decision-making there, Paul?
End of the financial year, we should have our first round. I think it's the 6th of June, and then we've got a meeting with the final applicants on the, I think it's the 12th of June after that. So, and then we'll be able to announce the scholarship winner from there.
Moving now to the local government reforms, and of course there's been a lot of conversation about potential impacts across communities, but I'm not sure there's been all that much conversation about how this might impact on community boards. Interesting topic, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think there's been really any discussion at all about what where boards may fit into local government reform that was announced by the government quite recently. And I think, with some justification, I think, as I say, there's probably a degree of some anxiety over what it may mean for boards, what it may mean for communities with boards. And, you know, like it's... they come and go, things like, I remember the amalgamation in 89 of Dunedin, the creation of Dunedin City Council, wider City Council, with the amalgamation of the smaller boroughs like Port Chalmers and Mosgiel, Green Island. And it took quite a long time for the city to adjust to that. And oft out of that actually came the development of community boards in a lot of these areas as well. I think there's opportunities in the local government reform for community boards to play a part, but I also see opportunities for boards to actually be potentially be developed to add a grassroots representation to communities across the city. South Dunedin comes to mind. I think personally that an area like South Dunedin could actually have a community board. I think the predominance of boards in semi-rural and rural areas across Dunedin is not necessarily the best model. Perhaps community boards for some urban areas are perhaps also required as well. South Dunedin's a good example. North Dunedin, for example, I think would could do with a community board. And also, too, as I say, the level of representation in terms of cost is actually quite low. We're basically volunteers, really, for what we actually do. And so I think there's quite a lot to be thought about that. There's also a thought, I suppose, that perhaps boards areas may get larger. For example, the peninsula, we might have taken a larger proportion of urban area in the city as well. There's a whole range of scenarios in this. And notwithstanding the fact that if you start looking at, you know, the notion of, let's say, Waitaki District Council and the City Council, Dunedin City Council becoming one entity, or Clutha or whatever, you've also got to then consider what happens to those existing boards within those areas as well. So there's quite a lot to ponder about the whole reform process. And of course, we're also in an election year as well, and whatever the outcome of the election might be and whether or not that also continues on with the reforms. One thing I would also say is that I do think that the regional council, which doesn't have community boards, but we obviously deal with the regional council, I think the notion of being able to interact better in a better way with that organisation from a board perspective would actually be entirely useful for communities as well.
Well, it remains to be seen what, if any, opportunity might be given for the community to have their say on any of this or to offer their views. Like we always say, Paul, if you are offered the opportunity, take it up. Have your voice heard. There's all sorts of ways of doing that. And of course,
could you imagine me not saying anything?
I'm sure, Paul, you'll be right at the top of the list, and you'll be speaking to your submission as well, which is always a great idea too. All right, let's wrap up today on the Tourism and Biodiversity Forum you wanted to mention.
So I'm really thankful for Hawani Langsbury for organising Tourism and Biodiversity Forum for the Otago Peninsula. We do this every year. And it's an opportunity usually towards the end of the tourism season to review just where we're at with some of the tourism issues and some of the matters around tourism management on the Otago Peninsula. It was an opportunity for us to also meet with, and we're very pleased to have the new Mayor, Sophie Barker, and also Councillor Andrew Sims, who's involved with economic development on the City Council, come to the forum as well. It was an opportunity, I think, for local operators and groups to really pitch their case around some of the things that's actually going on the Otago Peninsula and how our businesses and that work here as well. And I think given Mayor Barker's association with tourism, I think it's positive also from that point of view. And I think the thing that sort of came through to me is so much of just the day-to-day sort of stuff that happens, road management, civil defence, all those kind of things that affect you know, our businesses and our community are so intertwined. And but I also came away from the fact that some of our businesses are in good stead and that they're operating at a good level. There are still things that we need to do around infrastructure, particularly around Portobello and Harrington Point roads, which was part of the process that we went through with the annual plan this year, looking at that. But it was an interesting opportunity. I must admit, I absolutely disgraced myself by being very late and being extremely late with the morning tea, which I had to do at the last minute. But Hawani did very, very well in managing the situation with a great level of diplomacy and tact, while his, as I say, rather late chairman turned up and had to face the audience who were hungry by that stage. But like I say, it was a very useful thing and something we do every year. And it really just adds to our understanding of that we're doing the right thing around our infrastructural submissions and kept supporting that from that point.
Great to have the update from you, Paul. Paul Pope from Otago Peninsula Community Board joining us today for Round the Boards, touching base with Peninsula Rata. Yes, Paul.
Am I allowed to make a request?
Of course you are.
Something from Bel Air Lip Bombs. It's been my favourite go-to music lately.
All right, I'll see if I can find something. But it won't be right now. Thanks for joining us, Paul.
No, next time you introduce me from that point, how about that?
Okay, let's do it that way. Lovely stuff.
Cheers, man. Bye.
That was Round the Boards. Updates from Dunedin City Community Boards on ORFM, Dunedin's awesome morning show. For more information about Dunedin's 6 community boards and contact details, visit the Dunedin City Council website, dunedin.govt.nz, or phone 477 4000.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.